Yeah, and say hello to everybody for our first gathering for our intimate coaching group, our Lightworker leadership group. I'm really excited to be here with all of you. And what a great way to start our new year and to be leaning into, you know, what we want to be creating at this time and how to be doing that with the support of each other. Yeah. I was just doing some extra training, I guess I'll say, or just diving in with my yoga mentor, who is amazing. And she was just really talking about how at this time, how vital it is for us to be moving out of our old paradigm and into what we call a new paradigm, but really, if you know anything about yoga, we're talking about ancient wisdom, ancient yogic wisdom, and I'm sure it's not only in that tradition, but about how we are, you know, truly all connected in the great web of life, and how in that connection we can find strength and fortitude and joy. And community and a really deep sense of relatedness, both to our own selves, to each other, to the world around us, to, you know, our trees and our ocean and our beautiful planet and all of the animals that we share this incredible planet with. And it just even chokes me up to think about it. Because it's such a profound difference, certainly than the way I've lived most of my life, even though I think I've always had an inkling of it. But as I've dedicated myself more and more to really tapping into that on a felt sense and in an energetic way, and one of the things I do want to share with you and invite you to explore, even if you've never tried it before, are some of the energy practices that I rely on and that I think are outstanding for helping us to recognize that connection with the web of life. And that helps us to move out of our sense of isolation and of separateness and all the things that arises from that, right? Our sense of loneliness or of disempowerment, or, you know, the hierarchies that we're evolving out of now, but that have been dominant in our world for thousands of years, are all dependent on our feeling separate and alone and disempowered, right? I mean, they foster that, including the society that we're in now. It just looks different, but it's still happening. And so it requires us to be focused and intentional and dedicated, really dedicated, devoted to being able to see and feel and be differently than the way that our common culture is always beaming at us about how to be and how things are and what reality is and all of that, right? And I think that the pandemic has really brought up into the surface some of the deep structure of our belief systems and of our fear-based way of being in the world. I mean, I've experienced people that I know who I wouldn't have guessed be in such deep fear that I'm like, wow, that's really kind of your baseline, is this fear relationship to the environment, to other people. And so how do we seize this opportunity to do something different, even in the face of, you know, a pandemic, even in the face of something like COVID, even in the face of economic challenges that some people have been experiencing, or, you know, just all kinds of things, right, that are going on. And so for me, that's really what Lightworker leadership is about. It's definitely what my life is about. And you heard the call that I put out about it. So I imagine that it's resonant for you as well. and that we have an enormous opportunity when things are this dynamic and this stirred up and this chaotic, actually, to make tremendous changes in our own lives, in the lives of the people around us, and in our collective. It's like when everything's kind of going, just letting Sarah in, you know, when everything's kind of going smoothly, right? We just kind of go along with it a lot, right? We're like, oh, you know, life is good. I'm just going to, you know, continue on. And yet when we're doing that, many times we're expending a tremendous amount of energy managing the internal discomfort and the internal stress and tension that is actually there, living in the world that is as crazy as it really is. And so when the shit hits the proverbial fan, as it were, then it's like everything gets disrupted. And then it's possible for new miracles to happen. And so I always like to remember that, even when things get really hard, especially when things get really hard. Like if you go down for a few weeks with COVID, or, you know, you have other things that arise in your life, to realize, wow, this is, you know, what opens up for me as a new possibility when something like this happens. Sometimes I'll be very honest with you, and I'll get annoyed with people when they'll say, you know, you're like in the midst of a really deep challenge, and they'll say, what's the gift of this? And you're like, you know, screw you right now. Let me get through this a little more, and then I'll look for the gift. Thank you very much. But once we do get to a state where we are more able to think about that, it is helpful to look at what's the opportunity, right? And so that's a lot of the invitation that I have for you, is what are the invitations that are available to us, and what do we want to do with them, right? And not all of them will be appropriate, or either because they're not for you, or it's not the right time. And the question I always ask myself, and that I pose to, you know, my people, is, what do I need to grow and evolve in myself, which sometimes includes healing something, addressing a wound, or something that hasn't really gotten addressed in my own personal substructure, right? My inner landscape. And also, what capacities do I need to grow inside of myself in order to be able to experience the life that I really can imagine for myself and beyond. I'm sure you know this. We can project our consciousness out into a future that we can imagine. And very often when we do that, we're not the person who can actually experience that life, or that relationship, or that work, or that place we want to live, or whatever it is, right? We're not that person yet. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But then the question is, how do I close the gap, right? How do I move into being that person? And while we do that, very often the vision that we have of where we're going changes. It morphs and it changes, which is appropriate, because then, you know, life begins to unfold and to show us new things that we're ready for. Because when we were that other person, we weren't actually ready to see that, or we would have rejected it. I was just writing in my newsletter for today and recalling for myself how I rejected human design when it first came to me, because I was not ready. I wasn't the person who could take in that information at that time. I had to actually have my life really crash and burn a whole nother time before I was ready for the radical restructuring of my self-concept that human design demanded of me, invited me into. And So I think that that's very common. And I imagine all of you have been through your crash and burn experiences of some sort or another. and in the midst of that, tremendous opportunity arises. So as we dive into what we're doing here together, you know, that's really kind of the underpinning of the eight pillars of feminine sovereignty, is the understanding that here in the Earth School, our opportunity, our invitation is to be growing ourselves into something that, you know, we couldn't even imagine 5 years before, 10 years before, as a kid. I know maybe some of you have had this experience, but when my kid was little, you know, people were asking my kid like what they wanted to be when they grew up, when they were like little, like 4, 5 years old. And the options they were giving them were things like doctor, nurse, firefighter, you know? And I was like, and I said to my kid, I was like, honey, you know what? What your dad does and what I do weren't invented when we were kids. And I'm pretty sure that that's going to be true for you too. You know, whatever it is, it's not here yet. So don't worry about it. Just, you know, follow your interests and it'll lead you in the right direction. And I think that that's more true now in our time frame than ever, ever before, right? Because it's so dynamic and things are changing so, so incredibly fast. So the eight pillars are a roadmap for developing that inner metal, the power within. In the Lightworker Leadership Codes mini course, I talked about different forms of power and how we're evolving out of the power over that has been dominant in our culture for, you know, few thousand years, and how we're evolving into something that I think, as I said earlier, is really kind of ancient, but it's going to look different and feel different because of where we are now. But developing that power within, and then developing the ability to have power among and between. So it's like power with and power among. So through our collaborations, we develop power together. And then we allow different people to have leadership at different times and in different terrains, different domains. And so that we all are developing power in different places, and we receive the leadership of others. We provide the leadership in other situations. We hand it off. It rotates. We recognize that, you know, somebody is a person we can go to for a certain kind of support and direction, whereas we can provide it in a different situation. And I am sure that that was how a lot of tribal communities really operated, because it would make sense, right? If you're in the communities of 100 and 150 people that humanity spent most of our existence inside of, that would be how it would have to work. So this is a great inquiry and exploration that we're diving into. I certainly do not have all the answers. I'm really good at asking questions and inquiring and diving in. And so that's what I can offer you, working with you as you develop your own inquiries and ask your own questions and start developing your own responses to what arises for you. And I'll certainly give you whatever guidance and direction that I can, that's available. And at the same time, I recognize that all of you are, through this work together, in a process of empowering yourself. Like, I'm not going to empower you. I don't believe I can empower anybody. What I believe is that I can stand shoulder to shoulder with you, and I can share what I know, and I can respond from the intuition and experience that I have, but only you can empower you. It doesn't come from another person, ultimately. And that sometimes can be a scary thing to think about, but it's also really can be very exciting as well. And I imagine that all of you have already know that and have experienced it to some degree, but it's worth repeating so that we kind of understand what ground we're standing on together. So one thing I want to just throw out here for you to think about regarding the pillars, and I started building this material out, but I don't have it to share at this point. You may have heard, I don't really know what kind of exposure you all have to like the videos and stuff that I've done, but one of the things I talk about in relation to human design, but I'm realizing that it's really very applicable all over the place, is the different aspects, let's just say, of an archetype or of a theme or of a quality is breaks in. There's really at least three. And as I go into this, there'll probably be more, but I'll just talk about three right now. So one is the, you know, the really empowered state, right? What I call the awakened state of a theme. Then there's the shadow aspect. So actually the awakened really is embodying and expressing from a place of that power within, and recognizes that we're in a world where we're developing this power together and between and among, right? So that's really kind of the awakened state of any of these aspects. Then there's the shadow aspect, which is coming, is more both the shadow aspect and the disempowered are still living in the power over paradigm, which often is called victim perpetrator, but I think that that's not, I don't think that's always helpful. If we just think about the shadow aspect as where we take a hold of the power of whatever the attribute is, but we either consciously or unconsciously utilize it to try to manipulate or control a situation or a person. And this is so deeply ingrained in the way that we've been trained that we do it so much automatically. But it's really the shadow aspect, and it hides, which is why it's shadow, right? It hides, and we don't want to acknowledge it a lot of the times, people like us, because we don't really want to think of ourselves as being controlling or manipulative of other people most of the time, right? It's like, ew, really? And it's important that we come to terms with that, because that's also what we need to evolve in ourselves, right? And it doesn't make us bad people if we do that, because I think pretty much everybody does it. It's just a matter of our level of awareness and what we choose to do with it when we do become aware of it. And then the disempowered state, the third state, is really what it sounds like, which is where we're either feel that we're at the mercy of other people or circumstances, and it often does include victim consciousness, where we feel like other people have, you know, this power or this energy, and we don't have it, or it happens because we consciously reject something, because often we experienced someone else's shadow in relationship to it, and we didn't like that, right? I talk about that in the video that I put out today about transforming your life with human design. And so then we kind of disconnect ourselves from this. And so let's just take pillar one as an example. So pillar one is about co-creating with the flow of life, purposely, consciously co-creating with the flow of life, and doing that on a regular basis. Human design teaches us many ways of doing that. There are a variety of different schools of thought that will teach us that. And some people feel really disempowered around spirituality because they experienced dogmatic religion while they were growing up. I've talked to so many people, and I have friends who are like, you know, grew up in whatever dogmatic religion you want to call it, right? And they were like, I am not going there. Some of them went the route of science, right? I'm going to logic and reason, and I don't want to have anything to do with all of that. That's a disempowered relationship to spirituality, in my view. Okay. It's choosing almost to have science as a religion, but people don't like to call it that, but that they kind of turn to that instead because it's giving them the answers to the big questions in life. And dogmatic dogmatic religion would be the shadow aspect, right? Where you're trying to control and manipulate people through utilizing a belief system, right? A cosmology. But you're doing it because you're in a hierarchical relationship to other people and you think you have the answer and other people don't. And then the more awakened is where it's not dogmatic and it's not about trying to get other people to believe what you believe or to manipulate or control other people. I was thinking about this for myself because I have so much individual circuitry. For me, the mystical relationship to God or the universe is my chosen way because of my individual circuitry. It's not going to be right for everybody. Some people want to do it in community with others in a more tribal connection with others in like a smaller group. And some people want the bigger cosmological because they are coming from a collective circuitry place. So you can see how this gets really kind of nuanced and complex as soon as you start diving into it, right? But I guess what I'm wanting to throw out is when we're thinking about our relationship to spirit, right? It's for us to be looking at where do we unintentionally or unconsciously act in some kind of shadow way where we think we have the answer and other people don't. Or we're trying to convince and enroll other people when they're not asking for it. or we're judging other people. We're like, well, they're just not enlightened, you know, clearly. They're just, you know, you see this in modern spirituality a lot, actually, where people will be just as judgmental as more dogmatic religion. But they think they're enlightened and other people aren't, right? So just to start to illuminate the kind of complexity that the pillars and our experience of them can bring, and to be looking at how can we develop our awakened relationship to the pillars and kind of suss out the shadow parts that we might not be aware of, and also to heal and uplift the ways we may have felt disempowered or rejecting of some of the pillars. So I invite you to be mulling over those elements as you're diving into the pillars and working with them and considering what you want to really be working with yourself. Because sometimes we choose to look at the disempowered aspect and choose to not see the shadow aspect. And so we might choose to work on something where we feel disempowered, right? And not get in touch with this other less pleasant, even less pleasant than disempowered aspect of ourselves sometimes. Is this landing for you, what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, I don't know everything. I continue to develop this body of work. And as I do, I will share it with you. But I'm really excited and curious to see what you all are going to come up with and what your experience is, and that it's definitely contributing to my research to be in this with you. Okay. Boy, that was a little download there for you. let me just see if there's anything else I really kind of wanted to share from that. I think that's complete with that piece. I want to just reiterate that for these first few meetings, The invitation is to dive into the pillars, and I would encourage you to review that or go into it a little deeper, and to be maybe taking some of what I shared with today with you to look at that piece as well as you're deciding what pillars, you know, I would say one or two you want to work with, and ways that you want to heal or evolve or grow yourself in relation to a couple of pillars. And that's what we'll be working on these first few meetings. And my experience, and so if you have this happen, it's totally fine. It's actually very appropriate, is that you'll start to feel the interconnectedness among the pillars, because they're really not completely separate. It's just the distinctions are helpful for focus. But for example, emotional wisdom is deeply embedded inside of excellent communication. Physical vitality and relationship to the natural world definitely influences our energetic mastery and also our ability to connect with the benevolent attitude towards all beings, which is this, this awareness of interconnectedness in the one life. And so they definitely interpenetrate with each other. And of course, really pillar one is there throughout all of them. That's why it's the first line, because it's kind of the baseline. So that's fine. As if you run into that and you're like, oh, this is related, you know, that's fine. You can always bring in elements of others if that's relevant and helpful to you.
Yes.
It's totally fine. And yeah, I think that's what I want to say about that piece. And you can also be mulling over, if you haven't already, if there is a project that you already know that you want to be working on, that will be a little bit more of the focus as we get farther along. Doesn't mean that you can't already be mulling it over or even exploring or working on it now. It's just that during our time together, you know, we're going to focus a bit more on those, you know, getting, you know, diving into what you want to work on with the pillars. And obviously the last three pillars could be very related to a project in the sense of, you know, our communication, our collaboration, and also our developing our this bigger sense of benevolence inside of the one life and the web. Okay, let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to say about that? I think that's all good. I will be uploading to the membership site some more videos that have some energy practices that I do encourage you to explore. Some of them might feel really different and strange to you, because some of these yogic practices are pretty darn strange for Westerners, for sure. My teacher, who's from the Falkland Islands, when I first met her, she was like, yeah, Kundalini yoga is the weird yoga. It's weird. And I was like, as if yoga isn't weird enough already for Westerners, turning yourself into a pretzel. But Kundalini yoga is even weirder. So if you have that experience, it's all fine. I certainly did. I was like, oh my gosh, I was at a retreat in Esalen, and I was like, what did I get myself into? I had no idea. This is what I signed up for, but I was completely hooked by the end of 5 days. So I don't know if you'll get hooked or not, but I want to invite you to explore these. And one of the key reasons is that, and I was listening to Kia talk about this morning, is that in order for us to really be able to do what I've been talking about today, we have to elevate and maintain a high frequency of energy. And that when we do that, we are able to expand beyond our experience of three-dimensional reality into tapping into what the quantum physicists call the unified field, Some people call it cosmic energy. Some people just call it the universe. It's that energy that is intelligent and is orchestrating how the universe unfolds. And we can tap into that. And energetic practices help us even, in a way that's different than, for example, meditation or prayer. I'm an advocate of meditation and prayer. I'm not saying that not to do those or something, but doing practices that actually clear, uplift, and build your prana, your chi, your life force energy, deepen your ability to meditate and to pray and to connect. And so that's why I want to invite you to check these out. Obviously, those are a big part of the pillar on energetic mastery. But I just got really clear that I wanted to offer them to you, whether you want to focus on that pillar or not, just so that you could have that as in your magic backpack. And you can pull those out. And even the thing that I did today, it was literally under 10 minutes. It just shifted my energy so incredibly. And so these are good tools to have that I think will facilitate whatever it is that you're doing. And you may already have some things that are really energy practices, but I realized is that that as much as I had explored a lot of other things, there was nothing that did this the way these practices that I do now was able to do. And as effectively and efficiently in as short a period of time. And we all like that these days. Okay. So I think that's everything I wanted to share. What I want to do today is have you all connect with each other. And we're going to do a bit of a round robin in terms of you getting to be one-on-one with each other. And we're going to move that through so you get to do one-on-one with each person. So you can start to really get connected to each other right away. And then we'll bring out of what you experienced in that into the group. So that we can kind of feel that field together and hear a little bit more from each other as well. And then when we're towards the end of our day, we'll go over some logistics, but I didn't want to just do logistics at the beginning because it's so boring. I'm happy to see that all of you got on Slack, and I will show you a little thing about Slack that I think is really important. Sounds like, I think Teresa is pretty adept with Slack. Is that true, Teresa? Yeah. I'm a resource for that. You might be able to ask Teresa if you need some help with that, if she's willing to support you with that. Once you get the hang of it, it's really pretty straightforward. This is not a complex Slack channel with a whole bunch of, you know, workspace with all kinds of different stuff going on. And it's just the five of us. So it's not like there's 50 people in there and you're having to navigate something that's really complex that way either. So, did everybody get in the membership site? Did everybody get their? No, Teresa, you didn't get that. Did everybody get their email about that? Okay, so Barbara, you got an email.
I got an email, but I didn't get into it yet.
You didn't get into it yet. Okay. Did everybody get the email?
So I wasn't real sure about the email because of something. I don't know. You had a couple of emails. So I have to admit, I got a little confused, but I did get in there and set up get on the membership site. I just don't know if I'm in the right place.
Okay. Perfectly honest. So, you know what? I'll go over this towards the end. Okay. I'll make sure that we have some time because it takes us into a really mental space when we do all that. So forget that I asked and let it all go. We'll come back to it. Okay. And don't worry, we will sort this all out and it'll all be fine. So do not use this as any fodder for self-criticism. Okay. That is not allowed in the Ostara world. Okay. Okay. So what I want to do before I do this, we do this round robin, is just have everybody just say your name, say where you are in the world, and just share something about, let's see how to say this, like, so just where you are in this moment, so we can all get really present to where we are in this moment. So that can be where you are physically, right? Where you're located, where you are more emotionally, mentally, spiritually, energetically, whatever arises for you around that. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Just so we can kind of locate each other in this field that we're creating. And then we'll go into this other exercise. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. I'll start. So I am in my office and I'm in Sebastopol, which is in Northern California. And I am feeling excited about being here with all of you. I'm also feeling a lot of, what's the right word? I guess I'll just use the word sadness and some confusion in relation to my mother, who is in a facility. She has Alzheimer's, and she is comfortable and pretty happy, but she's gotten to the point where she's like immobile, as well as her brain doesn't work. She was in hospice for 6 months, and then she came out of hospice. And now she's been out of hospice for 3 months. And I'm just feeling a lot about all of that. I'm just like, Mom, what are you doing? I love you, but really, isn't it time to go? So that's really present for me. It's just that piece, you know? So let's see, is there anything else I want to say about that? No, not about that. But just the other thing is just, I'm really, really just jazzed about the work that I'm doing now, and how it keeps like the sense of the deepening of it. And that feels really, really good to me. It's very stabilizing and inspiring. Okay, that's me.
I'll go. So I'm Barbara, and I am in Olympia, Washington, and I'm sitting at my desk in my bedroom in a home that I share with two other fabulous women and two goats and four chickens. And I'm looking out on this most magnificent tree that has moss and lichen growing on it. And it's green now. It was filled with snow the last 2 weeks. I like being here. I like this spot. I like this view. Let's see. What am I feeling? I'm a bit frustrated having been down for the last 2 weeks. I'm not as far as long as I had expected. I often have lots of expectancies of myself. And so watching the self-criticism will be a good thing for me, or self-evaluating sometimes. And I'm also very deeply in a process of, in essence, writing a autobiography, because I'm filling out an application for chaplaincy. I was hoping that it would be already submitted, and a little frustrated that it's not, because I'd like to be moving on in some other things. But it's been a very deep process that has moved me through many emotions. So a lot of times I'm sitting in sadness and grieving all the places I've left and the people. And other times I'm incredibly happy because I get to connect with friends, because as I think of them, we call and we talk. And so I've been a lot all over the place this last 2 weeks in the time of catching my breath and regaining my energy now. And I'm really, again, glad to be here and on this other side of now having COVID. And I'm excited for the most part about what's going to happen next, and grateful for moving through all these emotions. So I'm stirred. I'm, like, my emotions now are really stirred. There's a big soup pot of emotional stirring. And that's me right now.
I can jump in. I'm Elizabeth. I'm sitting in my home office also in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I think this group for me is a place for me to really step into vulnerability, because I have thought multiple times, you know, maybe I shouldn't be here because I'm really not in a very good place. Emotions come up easy. And then I'll think, oh, maybe this is exactly where I need to be, because I'm in that kind of space in my life right now. So I'm a soup of emotions also, for completely different reasons. I'm very aware of that. It feels different to me. It's not where I usually spend a lot of time. And let's see, I'm also, in addition to feeling that way just over the last couple of weeks, or actually the last few months, it's caused me to really question, like, where am I going? So all these things that you've put into the circle today, Maggie, you know, like, who am I becoming, and who am I evolving into, and what capacities do I need to actually be the person that can also evolve and meet the evolution with who I am? And I'm also healing physically, which will be a part of our initial part of our journey together. I just had a double surgery this past Friday. I had severely broken my left elbow a year ago. And after a year working with every conceivable way, one surgeon removed all the metal from my elbow, which is fantastic, I think, to not have any more plates and screws and wires. And then I had some issues with my shoulder and bicep. And so another surgeon came in after the elbow got taken care of and patched those pieces back up together again. So I am 5 days into that healing journey. That's enough. I'm complete. Thanks.
I'll go. Am I volume on? I'm calling from Newburyport, Massachusetts today. I'm up at my mom's house. I'm up visiting her, doing some chores. And I'm always grateful to be up here, always a little nervous. I don't want to be spreading anything, but I've done what I could. And I feel like I'm looking forward to going through this process, so I can, I want to make some changes in terms of, I have just, I'm a little spread thin and not as deep, and I need to focus in on just a few things and get a little more focused in all areas of my life. And I just saw my grandson a week ago or so for the first time. He's 4 months. I saw him for a few minutes when he was first born, but he lives up in Alaska. So, and that was exciting. So that all fits into my world. And I'm really enthusiastic with some of the work I do, and I've been talking to them and just realizing, trying to figure out how I fit in, because I'm very excited about the things that we talk about and the changes, and have been for a long time, but how to sneak them in or just be that. And even though there's not really an invitation, and I try to ask for the room, but it's so anyway, just taking some leadership on that. And so it's interesting, but I have felt like I've done a lot of watching the world, and I'm that way in a lot of my life and a lot of things, but I do want to get a little more involved now with everything that's going on. And I don't have a huge world, but it doesn't matter how big or small, but just trying to figure out how to do it elegantly as I can and respectfully. So it's nice to practice that with a group here. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, y'all. I didn't get to meet you on the call, the first call. I'm Teresa. I'm here today in Loveland, Colorado. So it puts me and Elizabeth about 2.5 hours apart. In my home office, where I work on a daily basis as a digital business manager. So that means I manage businesses remotely for online service-based providers, but like somebody like Maggie. I'm very busy in that work. It's kind of consuming. And one of the reasons I find myself here is because I'm not convinced it's the right work for me. And yet I created it for myself, you know, like I made it out of nothing. And so I'm sifting through what's valuable there and what needs to remain and what needs to go. I am at a phase in my life where I have 3 children. I call them nearly growns because the youngest is about to turn 18. Well, she's got a few more months, but so I'm kind of transitioning, like, both in my physical world and in my mental world, from like mother to crone, and feeling that whole transition for myself. What does that mean for my energy, for my time, for my own personal agenda, for, you know, what I want to do now? And I really have no clue. So that's why I'm here. I really have no clue. I'm trying, I think for most of my life, I've kind of just ignored my own inner knowings and put my head down and did what needed to be done. And I don't have any regrets for that, but I am really wanting to explore another way now. So that's why I'm here. And I'm so thrilled to be here with you all. Really looking forward to it.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you all. Teresa, is it okay if I offer you one thing? I just really feel the desire to share this, which is that there's now pretty out there in the culture, another archetype between mother and crone, and it's queen. Because
I'll take queen.
Yeah, I thought you might. And it can be, it could be queen, it could be some other version of that, you know, but it's really about, you know, this woman at midlife who has this immense life experience at this point, right? And still has a lot of really great life to live. And you know, crone, I really think of as are elderly. I mean, like really elderly, you know what I mean? Like my mom's a crone. And so anyway, I just offer that to you if you like it. I liked it when I heard it. I was like, yes. All right. So what I'm going to do is, like I said, give you a round robin. And so I'll put you in a room with one other person. And the things that I want you to share are, so these are statements that you complete. So I give you the beginning of the statement and then you complete it. Okay. And when you're done sharing what you have to share about these statements, your partner just says, thank you. And your job when you're listening is to be a really alive and awake witness to your partner. And one of the things that I learned through the many years of dance practices that I've had in doing witnessing work is one of the things you can do to build your ability to witness, and this is something we'll be doing through our time together, is to move your consciousness into your back body. Now, you might not know what that means, and that's okay, because you'll get to practice. But just as an idea, we spend so much of our time with our consciousness way in front and even out in front of us, right? Part of it is having the predator eyes, right, which are in front of our face. And so we're designed to look at that way, as opposed to prey animals that have their eyes in the side of their face. But what that does, and especially with our life on computers and everything else, right, we're so forward focused. And that diminishes our capacities, our full capacity. So when we actually pull our consciousness back into our heads and even down the back body, something else really opens up. This is a technique that I often will teach clients, and maybe we can just do this for a minute, that helps us to get out of the verbal part of our brain and into a different part of our brain, which is more right-brained, it's more expansive, it does tap into that field that I was talking about earlier. And when I really learned this, it was a huge change for me in terms of my ability to meditate, for example, because I was like, oh, I just have to go into my back body and my mind quiets down. But you're still alert and you're still aware and you can still be looking at your person. So let's all just do this for a minute. Okay. So go ahead and close your eyes, put down anything that you're doing, just hands off the keyboards, whatever, and just close your eyes. Take a breath. And notice where your consciousness is in terms of where your kind of your line of sight is. Most likely you'll feel that kind of in the front of your head, kind of up where your eyes would normally meet the outer world. And so just notice that it's there. And then see if you can bring your awareness back into the center of your head, in between your ears. So you can have an internal felt sense of literally moving backward inside of your head. And some people will call this the seat of meditation or the throne of the sovereign. This is how we connect with the pineal gland. And one thing that helps me is if I imagine that I'm moving into peripheral gaze as opposed to forward focal gaze. If it's helpful to you, you can open your eyes and just see your hands on the side of your body to just kind of get a sense of that. But you can definitely do it with your eyes closed. Then see if you can take it even farther back to the back of your head. And notice what happens with your body that responds as you do that. And then also just the back of your body. Your spine is actually much closer to the back of your body, right? Your organs are in the front and the spine is in the back. So if you can just see if you can tap into the back of your spine. Okay, let's take a breath. This is just an awareness exercise. There's really nothing to do per se. Just seeing if you can develop that new capacity perhaps to move into the back body. Okay, take a couple more breaths there. Let your body reorganize itself if it's wanting to do that. Mine definitely did when I did it. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes and then notice how you see now, if it's different than you were seeing before. Yeah. My peripheral gaze is much more turned on. Are any of you feeling that? Like there's volume in the room, right? I experience this volume. Whereas before it was like just here to the computer. So this is a wonderful practice to do. You can do this, you know, before meditation. You can do it when you're just wanting to kind of get out of your head, you know. But it's also a way to help shift your awareness so that when you're with another person, you can witness from the back of your body because you're in a really stable place and you're solid, but you're not penetrating them with your focal gaze. Does that make sense? You're more like creating a space for them to be, that they get to be in and they get to express in. Yeah, make sense? Did anybody have trouble? Did you at least feel it a little bit, everybody? Did anybody not feel it? No, okay. Great thing to practice. So as we go into this, let's see, 3, 6, 6, 6, 18. Okay, so I'm gonna give you 3 minutes each to share. And I will cue you in the room about when to change. And I also will be putting these questions or these statements in the room. So you'll be able to see them at the top of the room. I think, I'm not sure if they stay or if they move, but I think they stay for at least a little while. Okay. So the statements are something I'm excited about. This is in relation to what we're doing together. Something I'm excited about. Something I want to transform. Something I'm scared about. And my intention now is something I'm excited about, something I want to transform, something I'm scared about, and my intention now is. And the invitation is that each time you do this with a different person, you say something different. And you have the intention that you're actually going to go deeper as you do this. Now, this is a process that I've often done where you're just with one person, you say these things back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and you're amazed at what starts popping out of your mouth. But because I want you to do this partly as a get to know you experience, we're going to do it this way. Okay. So one person responds to this. You have 3 minutes to respond. So you can take some time in responding and then you'll switch. And before you switch your partner, when you say I'm complete, so say I'm complete so that they know you're done. And then your partner goes, thank you. Right. Thank you for sharing. No conversation, no comments. And then you switch. Yeah. Okay. And then we'll come out of the room and I'll put you back in a room with somebody else and we'll do this. Okay. All right. Any questions? Don't worry. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm thinking about wanting to take notes while I'm doing it. Is it better just to let it be free form and hands off the board as I'm thinking, because my tendency is like, oh, I want to capture that.
Yeah. If you really want to, Barbara, do you have a smartphone?
I do.
You can turn on your voice memo.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And because the recording does not record the rooms.
Right. Got it.
But if any of you want to record, then you can just turn on your voice memo on your phone.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Or your computer for that matter. Mm-hmm. That's what I, anyway. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to dive in. I'm getting all warm just thinking about it. all right. Here we go. I see that there was a little text thing like that. How was that?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Okay, good. Any questions or anything?
No, it feels good.
It's okay, pretty clear. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right, I forgot to allow for that that minute to close the rooms. So, all right. So you got a little extra there. All right. Ready to dive back in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you guys have any questions? Anything? No? Okay. Great. All right. There they all are with big smiles on their faces. Yay. All right. So I'd like to just open it up a little bit for just a little bit of sharing here to just hear anything you want to share about how that was for you or what you are already shared or what came up or just anything. Yeah, jump on out.
I just so appreciate that we're such a small group. Feels so privileged because being able to see everybody and get to know everybody and build some trust in the stories and have it be for the entire group, it's like just feels really safe and sweet and all. And it's, and I love that little exercise and just have the time to see what gets stirred up and spit out. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of good stuff there. So thank you. And
anyone else? Don't have to, but it's just an opportunity.
I felt the same feeling of gratitude for, you know, even if some other people did join Maggie and that, you know, and you had that opportunity to invite them in, it would be fine. And I did feel the same, or I could build off of what Sarah shared. I felt a similar feeling as I listened to her of gratitude for the small group. I've spent a lot of time in large groups and you still break off and do all those things. And for me, it's a great place to hide. This is an invitation not to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciated what you said earlier too about this being an opportunity to just be vulnerable, you know, mm-hmm. And I invite all of you to the, in the way and to the degree it feels right to you to do the same.
Yeah, I'll say something. I think that we all just were very vulnerable. And that was really touching. Like, really, it's amazing how fast, like, you can bond with just that little bit of really honest vulnerability. So thank you to all of you. Lovely.
I feel that way too. I feel that there's such a powerful essence already shared, and I love the way that we all in our own way got to go deeper and deeper by actually saying it and coming up with something new, and also how I could feel symbiosis with others because something someone said actually woke something up in me. Mm-hmm. And so then the value of the group and the smallness and us being able to connect in this way intimately will really be powerful for us. So that's, I'm feeling excited about that.
Yay.
So thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Yeah, these processes are actually pretty magical. I've been doing them for many years and it's incredible how they can just open things up. So I'm glad that you had that experience and I can feel the difference in your energy then when we started. So that's awesome. So we're coming to the end of our time, and I want to invite you as much as you can to, you know, to interact with each other over on Slack. I know it's going to feel a little odd. It's, you know, but it's messaging. It's not the same. Although you're always, if you want to, you're always welcome to invite each other to do a Zoom call with each other or FaceTime or, you know, whatever you want to do. So, I mean, this is really your group. I'm here to facilitate and participate and, you know, coach however I can, but it's really, you know, my intention when I made it small was that you would all really, you know, I hope that you would connect with each other. And so it doesn't just have to happen when we're together, in this configuration. And that was part of what I wanted for the Slack, workspace to provide that opportunity. So, I am there, and I'll pop in here and there on the channel that I created for you. But I'm not thinking of it as primarily like a place where I'm going to be sharing information or anything like that. It's much more for you. You can direct message each other. And so I encourage you to do that if you want to. If you have something really private that you don't want me to know about, which is fine, you can do a direct message with all of you and I won't be in it. And then you'll just have your own space. So that's an option as well. I'm in a human design mastermind and we have pods. It's a much bigger group and we have pods, and my pod of five, we meet every week separate from the program and we message each other all the time. I just messaged somebody yesterday and asked her about something she's going to help me with. And we talk to each other on Slack regularly. So it's just a really nice way to be able to communicate and not be buried in email and all of that. So you're all in there. There's just one thing I want to show you that I think might be helpful. Let me...
Can I throw in while you're looking there, Maggie, and say I would be interested in seeing if any or all of you would like to meet once a week, if anybody has a Zoom channel where we could figure out something. And
yeah, well, this is a perfect thing for you to put out on Slack.
Yeah.
And for you to be like, anybody want to do that? You know, what's a good time? You know, so perfect thing to do. So I just want to show you one thing. Otherwise, I think Slack is fairly straightforward. And I also, you know, did provide you with a document about a variety of things. But okay, everybody see my Slack? Our Slack? Yeah. So there's this really cool thing called Threads. And Threads are really helpful to keep from just having a long string of messages where things get lost. And you can, so here's Teresa. And right here, if you hover over her message, when you respond to it, if you go to this little bubble with the two little lines, right, which is like somebody talking, you'll see it says reply to thread. Okay. And it all, I think if there's no thread already started a thread, but you might say reply in thread, and you just click on that. And then you'll see another panel open up here on the right hand side. And then you put your message, test message here for everyone. And then you just send it there, and then it'll take it out of that main list of messages, and then each conversation can have its own thread. Does that make sense? So it's like a branching off. And then if you go up here to all threads, you can click on that and you can see what the different, I think this might be the only thread that got started. So it's not like there's a bunch in there, but as the conversations go, like, let's say Sarah puts something out, says, who wants to meet once a week? These are the days that are good for me. And then you click on there and you reply in the thread. And then all the conversation about that is in one thread, and you don't end up with 15 messages in your main place where you're talking to each other just about those logistics. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. You'll get the hang of it. Probably you'll just reply sometimes in the main thing because you'll forget, and that's okay too. But that is the, to me, that's the thing that makes Slack really cool as opposed to a lot of other things, is that ability to do threads. Okay. You can also upload files. If you want to share files with each other, you just drag and drop them into the message. And like if, you know, you find a link to an article that, you know, relates to something somebody else was talking about or a video or anything like that, you can just drag and drop it in there. And so that's really easy too. So you may have questions as we go along and you can ping me on Slack, just do at Ostara. And you could probably ping Teresa. She probably wouldn't mind. Is that okay? Speaking for you. Okay. Okay. If you need some more help with that. All right. Then, so you all got the invitation to join Slack because you're in there. Okay. So that one is done. You also should have received an email from WordPress that told you that you had access to the LLC Intimate Coaching Group. And that will take you to my becomingsovereign.com website, which is a membership site. And when you, and there's a login, you have a username and a login. And when you go in there, you'll see there's a bunch of different circles for the different programs I have in there. And there's one that says LLC Intimate Coaching Group, something like that. And you just click on that, and then that's our space. Okay. And then if you ever do another program with me, then you'll go to the same, you'll have the same login, the same username. You'll just have a different, one of those circles will be lit up, and then you'll be able to act. Actually, you guys have access to the Activate Your Superpowers class, right? So it should be the same. Actually, it should be the same login. So then now that the LLC coaching group should be lit up.
So I think this is where, sorry, Maggie, to jump in, but where
a
little confused, because at least for me, I have an email message from you January 10th, Monday. And in there, it says, I will send out another email in the next couple of days. And in my spam, in my junk, in my whatever, I don't have anything after January 10th from you.
I didn't send anything. Something.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I actually forgot that I said I was going to do that.
Okay. So I think I have found, you know, various links that take me to all the things you're talking about, but maybe not in the way you're talking about them. So
yeah, I did not. My bad. I'm sorry. I set you up for confusion with that one. I was thinking I might send you some more materials, but I didn't get to it because I was shooting video
Actually said with more direction for getting started. So I think I've been kind of waiting.
Yeah.
So, my bad. All good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But and if you do have questions about the membership site or you have issues about getting in there, you should contact Lisa, who's my tech support. And she's just lisa@helpmelisa.com. She's my parallel to Teresa, right? She's except she's primarily a tech support. She doesn't do probably everything that Teresa does. Okay. So, and you can also ping me on Slack and I'll, put you in touch with her or answer if I can. But our schedule's in there. Everybody's good with the schedule. I didn't hear anything back about the schedule. So I tried to hit everybody's requests for the most part. And not hit any days when Sarah's going to be gone anyway. And then there's some videos that are in there already. Anyway, there's just a bunch of stuff. And I will put some energy practices in there that include movement and breath practices. And that is where we're at right now. So for next time, I would like you to bring your musings and current thoughts about what pillars you'd like to focus on and your understanding about what you want to get out of that. Like, what is it that that you either feel challenged by, or you know, you have resistance to something, you have some wounding around something, or you're like, I really want to build this capacity around this piece that, you know, I see other people have it and I don't have it, and I'd really like to learn how to do that, whatever that might be. Okay, so just bring whatever those are, and then we will talk about those next time. And you know, we'll see what the format is. I'm not 100% sure how we're going to do that, but that's okay, because I go with the flow. All right. Any other question from anybody? As of right now? All right.
Okay.
You did it, folks. You did the technology. Give yourself a pat on the back if you know that that's a challenge for you. You did it. And hopefully it will be pretty easy from here on out. I always try to make my technology easy for users. So if you find something that's challenging for you and you're like, this could be better, you can let me know, because we may be able to make it better. All right. Yep. All right, everybody, take good care and many blessings. And I will see you next week. Well, in 2 weeks. Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.